It is my last talk of this week. Next week, I would like to talk about commerce from a little bit different angle, particularly according to Dawkins, the founder of Solar Zen, because he wrote in Shobogen Genzo on commerce. So I would like to talk about commerce according to Dawkins, the way how he understands, accept commerce. that is the new topic next week. Today's last. So as much as possible, I would like to have a conclusion. In Buddhism, meditation is called jhana. You really start to study Buddhism. But jhana, meditation, is not a simple practice. It's pretty deep. So, most people find meditation as a means to make your life strong, etc. But this is just a little bit. You really understand it. Just a little bit of meditation. But the more you practice meditation, you really realize how deep meditation is. While in your whole life, you should understand what meditation is, and through the meditation, you should understand. To understand the meditation is exactly the same as understanding of your life, okay? Exactly. So, that's why I taught you in this seminar. Anyway, in order to understand karma, there is no other way but just to do the Zen. That is the best way, anyway. To understand meditation is jhana, is exactly to understand you, human life, and also karma. Okay. I don't want to explain. I don't want to poke my head into that complicated. The explanation of jhana according to tradition, but just outline, okay? Just outline. For instance, first world is divided into three categories, okay? One world, first world is the world of desire, okay? The second is the world of form. The third is the world of formlessness. Well, simply speaking, that is the understanding, one of the understanding of the world. So we call triple treasures, not triple treasures, triple worlds, okay, triple worlds. But if you say use the term triple world, that time two meaning. One is world of the form, no, world of the desire, and form and formlessness. Okay? The other meaning is past. The world of the past, present, future. Okay? So that is what is called triple world. Triple world. Simply speaking, briefly speaking, we understand the world as the triple worlds. Okay, first, the world is the world of desire. This is really common human world filled with human desire. Okay, human desire. Good or bad, right or wrong, confusions, and suffering, many things, anyway. Okay. The second world is the world of form. That is, in other words, this world has no sense of desire, but the material entities remains. Material world remains. That means, material world means not only material things, but even the spiritual things becomes material. Okay? If you attach to it, do you understand this? Well, you can know the Trungpa's book, Spiritual Materialism. If you really attach to, if you really handle spiritual world, well, according to, individual preconceptions, prejudice, spiritual world turns into material world. In other words, you don't understand spiritual world exactly as it is. So the spiritual world is understood very narrow, okay, in narrow way. That time it becomes material world. Okay. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't work in the human world. Okay. Even though you have a spiritual experience, if it doesn't work in your life, it's still material things, material entity. That is in the world of the form. And third is the world of formlessness. This is just spiritual world. Spiritual world. So we call mushiki kai. Mu is none. Okay? Shiki means rupa. In Sanskrit, rupa means. Rupa means to get something in dualistical way. To get something in dualistical way. Usually rupa is translated as a form. Okay? Form. But rupa in Sanskrit means to get something in dualistic way. In other words, always separating. Okay? See something, hear something, separate which is between subject and object. And that is what is called rupa, okay? World, form, material world, okay? Dualistic world. So, mushiki means rupa, okay? Now, form, so non-form, so formlessness, okay? World, formlessness. So jhana takes place not in the world of desire. The practice of jhana starts in the world of the form. Okay? There is no jhana in the world of desire. Okay? That's an interesting point. Do you understand? Anyway, I told you before, the jhana takes place in the world of the form. At that time, we have system of jhana. So the first stage, the second stage, third stage, fourth stage. Do you remember? I told you briefly. So in the first stage of the jhana, anyway, the all unwholesome human behaviors drop off. Exactly. But you don't believe, but this is very true. So the world of yamas, the world of desires drop off anyway. For instance, if you sit down like this, and you, even though you get angry, you can't express anger, or you can't hit somebody. Anyway, when you sit down, that's all. Even though someone comes and get angry and try to hit someone, it's pretty hard to hit. But the person who is sitting quietly, well, maybe somebody there, but don't. But anyway, there are lots of stories in the Buddhist Buddhist book, you know, the history in Japan. A samurai was about to be killed by the enemies, and at that time, that samurai says, before I am killed by you, I would like to talk with you, drinking the sake. Anyway, he drink a sake and we said, well, why don't you come and drink a cup of sake? I will give you. And then naturally there is a communication here. Samurai who was about to kill and enemies are communicating with each other. And then they drunk. It's not trick anyway. Well, you cannot do it that way because if you are on the verge of life and death, you really become nervous and confused. You cannot have such a wonderful, you know, this faith. Can you imagine? Well, no unwholesome human behavior drop off. This is first stage of jhana. That's why the practice of meditation cannot stop in the human world of desire. Do you understand? Okay. So that is first stage of desires. Very naturally, there are five consciousness experience. That is, you want to? Well, simply speaking, still at the first stage of jhana, in the first stage of jhana, strongly there is still the thoughts and discursive thinking there, okay? Discursive thinking there. So constantly you are thinking again and again, okay? But whatever you think in the Zen, all are images, all becomes images, okay? Even the pain is something you believe as something real, but it's still imagination. Because if you stand up, it's gone. So all things becomes imagination. You find nothing to get in your hand. That's why you're always chasing after images escaping from this and also staying and enjoying with imagination. That is what is called daydream, a constant daydream. But if you stay with daydream, it's very exhausting. But you can't stay with time in the daydream. So finally, very naturally, even though you like or dislike, very naturally, all daydreams drop off. Okay. So you all you have to do is just sit down. Okay. So that is very natural. That's why you feel pretty. I said at that time pre, but it's not pre. Pretty. Pretty. Yes, pretty. Okay. Pretty in Sanskrit, in the Pali, pretty. That is a joyful interest. So very naturally you can experience joyful interest, but in the realm of joyful interest, still six consciousnesses are always poking their head into each experience. Okay. That is a joyful interest, but and also you experience not joyful, pretty, but the sukha. We say sukha, S-U-K-H-A. This is happiness. Okay, this is happiness. In the realm of happiness, there is no function of six consciousnesses. No function. In other words, of course, the six consciousnesses. You have six consciousnesses, but that means six consciousnesses. You have six consciousnesses, but they don't bother you, okay? Because you become exactly one with them. That is what's called sukha, okay? Happiness. That is everyone experience. That's why if you really become one zazen, and that's exactly the same as you become one with you, okay? This is the same thing. Zazen and you are different. But if you completely become one with zazen, that is exactly the same as you become you as you are. So, you feel good. But intellectually, you don't like zazen. But beyond your speculation, you like it. Because why? But you don't know. That is happiness, which is called sukha. Okay? So happiness is a little different. Happiness you have used usually is a little different. Can you imagine? Happiness is always happiness opposed to unhappiness. Okay? But that happiness is always still. According to the common sense, that happiness is sort of joyful interest. Still six consciousness poke their head into each hole. What's in it? Okay, that is not happiness. If you believe that is happiness, that is really happiness opposed to unhappiness. So happiness is exactly happiness. Okay. Becoming one with anyway. So then football and painting, playing piano, whatever it is. Okay? Exactly. And also your consciousness really clear. But it's become one. And that time it is called sukha, happiness. So at the first stage you can experience samadhi and sukha and pretty. And also, what would you say, vitarga means thought, and vichaya is discursive thinking, okay, So particularly vitarga, vichaya, thought and discursive thinking drop off, that is second stage of jhana. Second stage. And then you can experience strongly the Priti and Sukha. Also, that is at that time that is called mindfulness. It's mindfulness because you can be mindful. What is the truth? But that truth is a little bit the dim image of the truth. Okay? But you can be mindful of the image of the truth. Okay? The image of the truth. Because still there is a pretty, a joyful interest which your six consciousnesses poke their head into it. So, the six consciousnesses pull their head into the truth. Okay? So that is image of the truth. That is the second. Third, pretty japa. Okay? Pretty japa. Just happiness and samadhi and also mindfulness there. Okay, that is third. Okay. You can be mindful anyway, samadhi, and not the truth. Okay, in other words, oneness between the thing and you. Okay, and then you that is really mindful. Mindfulness means not forget the state of the being who is right in the middle of the truth. Okay, this is mindfulness. Mindfulness, do you understand? Mindfulness, anyway, very practical belief. Not the belief is not that something you can think in your mind. The mindfulness is really practical belief. Okay? You can be mindful of a state of you who is present constantly in the truth. This is mindfulness. So you, the mindfulness means not forget the truth. Okay, that's why not forget the truth. This is mindfulness. Or you can be present there. Okay, you can be mindful your life, which is present constantly in the truth. This is mindfulness. So at the third stage, then you can experience this. And the fourth, last one. Even the happiness drop off, because happiness is still if a trace of happiness, okay, or form of happiness remains. You still hang around happiness. Okay, so real happiness, if you become one with real happiness. No trace of happiness. So it's not necessary to bring up, okay, I am happy, it's not necessary to say. But do you understand? If you really become happy, at that time you cannot say anything. Okay? Or same apply to the suffering. If you really suffer from something, you cannot say anything. Okay? So suffering or happiness, basically say, if you really experience suffering, really suffering, well, you can touch the core. That time, no words. So, for instance, cry, sad, but real core of the sadness is not sadness. You can laugh. Okay? If you touch the core of sadness, you can laugh. Or happiness. At that time, you can cry. Look at Miss America. Miss America contest and Universe, Miss Universe. You know, if you get the prize, first one, she cries. Oh, that is highest level of so happiness and suffering are basically the same. Okay? Okay. So if you really experience real happiness, there is no trace of happiness. You can say this is happiness Why do you feel happy?
You don't know. You can't say.
But you have lots of things. You are to explain, but nothing becomes water. So, at the last Zazen, anyway, stage of Zazen, you cannot say anything. So, happiness drops out. Okay. There is only Samadhi and mindfulness. And exhaustive mindfulness, and also Samadhi, and also, in English we say, equanimity. In Sanskrit we say upeksha, literally upeksha means throwing, abandoning, throwing away, but this not throwing away, abandonment, upeksha means to accept all things, human life, including all, in equality. At that time, you can experience equanimity, peace, what is called spiritual security. Equanimity is good spiritual security. Or there is belief or faith, whatever you say. Well, if you don't want to use the term faith, that is, according to my term, that is spiritual security. That is the event takes place in the world of four, okay? And also, question is still four stages of Zazen in the world of formlessness. That is very deep. You don't understand. So, what? Well, I will give you just the name of, anyway, four stages of Zazen in the realm, in the world of formlessness, okay? One is the infinity of the space. This is first stage. Second, the infinity of consciousness. Infinity of consciousness. Third, nothingness to resort to. This is the third. Fourth, a state of concentration which goes beyond the matter, whether the nothingness is allowed or not. Okay, do you understand? The fourth, last one is a state of concentration which goes beyond the matter whether nothingness is allowed or not. Completely. You can't say anything at all. Okay? Nothing. So all you have to do is just be present. Just be present. Okay? This is final goal anyway. This is the last stage just like a fish swimming in the water, okay? Even though he doesn't use consciously, his on the consciousness, well, but he doesn't ignore the function of consciousness because he has consciousness, but it doesn't bother the fishes. Action, activity. So fish just swim in the water dynamically, okay? Always. That is really the last stage of Zazen in the world of formlessness. So at that time, Zazen is, if you really practice Zazen constantly, well, you never change. You cannot change you, okay? You cannot change you. Well, but according to psychological point of view, you try to change somebody's situation, but you cannot change anyway. Forget it.
yourself. All what you can change is anyway attitude toward human life. How do you take care of what this table and kasho and zazen? That is attitude toward. That is you can change by the suggestions, by the teaching, and by under deep understanding, you can change your attitude. That is best. That is the best. So, the final goal of meditation is not to change personality or whatever it is. Anyway, point is to understand deeply English human life and zazen. That means zazen. Understand the deeply meaning of zazen anyway, meditation. Connected directly with human life. And then, at that time, anyway, something happens. This is completely you can return to human being as it is, as he is. Okay. But this human being, a person, is really different from the beginning, okay? The beginning of the person in the first stage. Well, briefly speaking, the mountains, we usually understand the mountain is mountains, okay? This is common, okay? According to common sense. The second stage, we have to understand a little deeply, that's why we say mountain is not mountain, okay? And then the final goal is mountain is mountains. That mountain is little different from beginning. From the mountain is mountain in the first stage, do you understand? Because you understand pretty deep. Related with you and all sentient beings and the clouds, skies, it's the sun, the moon. That's why you really understand mountain, total picture of the mountain. Total picture of the mountain means my mountain's life, including the clouds, the skies, and the heavens, and the hells, all things. Okay? And then becoming one. This is the very beauty of existence, mountain head. That is the last stage. Okay? So, when you study Zazen and practice Zazen, well, you can understand the human beings as a human being. Second, you can go through a little bit negative aspect of human understanding. The third, finally, you can go to overcome this negation of human life. At that time, you really can open your eyes and see and everything and accept everything. Okay? That is really final goal, what is called mountain is mountain. That is so you can return to the human again. But when you return to human again, that human is really nothing special. Nothing special. But just be present, but that just be present is really influencing to everybody. That is in what last stage of Zazen in the world of all business. But what I want to tell you is, according to Buddhist tradition, it is last stage, but Buddhist teachers always said, still there is what is called, still there is, perception. Perception still remains. That's an interesting point. Okay? Even though you reach final goal, still the perception still remains in your life. Well, that is, perception means, well, let me say something about it. In Buddhist psychology, there are five consciousnesses operate, work constantly, whatever happens, whatever event happens, okay? Whatever you do, constant, good or bad, right, wrong or neutral, whatever behavior you do, constantly there are human consciousnesses working constantly. That is five consciousnesses. First one is contact. In Sanskrit we say parsha, parsha, S-P-A-R-S-A, parsha. And second, the feeling, okay. We call Vedana, V-E-D-E-N-A, Vedana. Third, the perception, which is called Sanjuna, S-A-M-J-N-A, Sanjuna, okay, that is perception. Next, the fourth is the thought, Chetana, we call it Chetana, C-E-T-E-N-A, Chetana. The fifth is mind, citta, C-I-T-T-A, citta. Those five consciousnesses constantly working there. Okay, whatever situation. Okay, that's the interesting point. For contact, parsha, this is not contact. What you have usually think, thought, okay? According to psychology, I don't know how do you understand the contact, but in Buddhism, contact is not the idea of the contact, the psychological point of view. Contact is a little broad. Okay? For instance, contact is just like a pillar. Okay? Just like a pillar in the building. Okay? And big pillars always supporting, okay? Connecting with the rest of the rafters and the many things. Okay? Many things. And supporting, anyway, whole building. Okay? Whole building. And also it has, they always want to say, each of them have recognized the differences and, what would you say, form very harmoniously connected whole. Okay? This is spasha. Okay? Can you imagine spasha? So spasha is, what would you say, contact as a whole. As a whole. This is very powerful. Just like, two goats fight each other, you know, with a head. Do you understand? It's really bumping each other. This is the contact. So that is really create a certain the functioning works. That when it works, just like this, hitting each other, at that time, that something happens. That is what is called feeling, okay. Vedana. Vedana is Vedana feeling is. Vedana is to receive, reception, to receive something. If you bump each other, your consciousness organ, six organs, contact with six objects, and then at that time there is a diksha, which is called two goals, fight, okay, bumping each other, that is shock. Immediately you can get a shock. That if you get a shock, your body starts to work. That is feeling. Get better now. vedana. So to receive, you immediately receive something. And also when you receive something, there is function of what is called, what would you say, grasping, okay, loving, and, or attaching something. This is quality of vedana, feeling, okay, vedana. And very naturally, and also vedanas, where the vedana is located. That interesting. Vedana feeling is really, essentially feeling is very quiet, tranquil. Okay. Feeling is really tranquil. You don't know that, but original nature of the vedana is very tranquil. Okay. And also, vedana is original nature of vedana create the wholesome behavior in the human mind. This is the original nature of the feeling, human feeling. That's why through the feeling you can create, what would you say, a religious sense and musical artistic sense. Okay? So that's why we educate the little boys. Okay? You know the Japanese teacher of the musician, guitar musician, Suzuki, Mr. Suzuki, Suzuki Sway. He always teaches the music to the little children, but they don't understand music. But originally, human being has a feeling. That feeling is very transparent, accepting, okay? Accepting everything. By bumping each other, getting the big shock, that is contact, okay? Contact. So very naturally you can educate that feeling, okay? Particularly in the small children, it's pretty easy to educate such a feeling, okay? Quiet, tranquil feeling. That's why Mr. Suzuki always teach that in that way. Okay? Well, same applies to not only music, religion, or sports, or whatever it is, okay? That is, when you teach somebody, teach when you are small, that's pretty good. Even language, too. But not only just the linguistic way, to teach, not teach linguistic way, but teach language through the human feeling, okay? That they can get the language through the human feeling. So, teacher can teach in that way. In Japan, particularly, the teacher, music teachers, whoever it is, pay careful attention to a person, particularly who is under teenagers, under the 20s. That is very good time to teach somebody, to teach in order to be good musician and carpenters, whatever. That's pretty good age. Maybe you know pretty well. When you are high school, well, you can just concentrate on studying, okay? And memorizing the English term and Japanese term, whatever, writing the term on a piece of card. I memorized the English term one night before the examination started. Anyway, memorized. I didn't forget next day. But after, when I went to university, I did the same way. Memorized the English term. Next day, I forgot everything. So you know how different it is? But before 20, it's very easy to memorize because your life is very simple. Simpler than people over 20. Okay? If you're over 20, that's what things happen. So that's why they always they concentrate on educating young people like this. Because we have to educate the person sort of 3 years old in order to grow such a human feelings, okay, which is tranquil. So that is this little boy's little child anyway learns human feelings through relationship, parents and the peoples and through the teachers, etc. That is a feeling, okay? Do you understand? Vedana. And also next is Samjana, S-A-M-J-N-A, that is a perception. This is a very interesting thing. Perception is, perception is just like a carpenter who recognize the what kind of wood they have to use. Okay, they have to use. So recognition of the wood is, and also next carpenter. Use, okay, put mark. This is a quality of perception. Put the mark means if you put the mark, that putting the mark reminds you of what kind of word you should use. Okay? That means re-recognition. Okay? So first, recognition, and second, quality of the perception is re-recognition, okay? So if you recognize something, you immediately, you know, put a mark on your object. So that putting a mark on the object is immediate recognition. You can know later, okay, what kind of word you should use. So recognition. And at that time, attaching function of the perception is to attach individual understanding, because carpenter understand what kind of wood he needs, but that is individual carpenter's understanding of words, okay? So that's why he put the mark on the word. This is individual understanding. Well, for instance, if you understand Zazen or Christianity, whatever, you have, anyway, experience Christianity, and then you understand. That is recognition, and then you put the mark on Christianity. That is your understanding, individual understanding. And then this individual understanding is really recognized. Okay? You really recognize what kind of word you need. Okay? That is finally says that is Christianity. Okay? So you really attach to individual understanding. Okay? That is a function of perception. And that is just like a blind man touching the, you know, touching the elephant. There is an interesting story in the Buddhist scripture. Kings invite the blind man and to know what it is. He brought the elephant, and then king asked the blind man to know what it is. The blind man touching the everything, that's it. And one blind man touched the ears and of an elephant, and he said, "Oh, elephant is just like a fan, big fan, big fan, you know that big fan, big fan." And the other one, anyway, touching the legs and the, oh, elephant, it's just like a pillar. Well, that is really perception, function of the perception. Do you understand? It says perception. And another characteristic of the perception is perception cannot reach the depth of object. So perception is occurs for very short period of time, just like lightning. Okay, lightning. Just a very short period of time, perception start work. for instance. Like when you walk in the countryside and right before night, in the evening. Lord is very little dark and you cannot see clearly what they are in the Lord. But all of a sudden you recognize, you notice the sort of a long string there, walk, straw walk. And they immediately say, you say, snake! You scream, snake! That is a perception, really perception. Immediate perception starts work. But perception doesn't have enough space, you know, space to understand what it is. Very quick. Touch it. And understand what it is. That is a perception. But this perception is also working with wisdom. Okay? Wisdom is very quick sometimes. Did you say so? Just like a lightning. So perception is not something bad. Perception is also working with wisdom. So, for instance, if you do that, then I experience also same thing. You know. Sitting zazen, I told you maybe before. Well, the Zen masters, all Zen teachers, always teach zazen is useless. But I didn't understand this. Useless zazen. Why I have to do zazen useless, okay? Which is useless. So I didn't understand. But I have to teach anyway zazen. So that is really my affliction, which is called avijja, ignorance. So very difficult. But something compels me to teach, so every day I have to teach, studying, understanding with my best. But actually I didn't understand. But all of a sudden, I understand the meaning of uselessness. Okay. Insufficient. This is. Then from then, I feel relief. Yeah, I feel relief. I don't know what it is, but I immediately, just like a water rushing off from the bottomless bucket. So I feel good. Oh, this is a uselessness. Right. This is nothing. That's good. So that is maybe real nothing. So that is a perception. Did that experience really get such experience through the perception? Because perception work with wisdom, okay? Okay, and the next is the chetana. Chetana is thought and also volition or will. Okay, that is volition and will. chetana is very important, because Chetana is the basis of karma. Basis of karma comes from this Chetana. Okay? Chetana. So Chetana is working whatever kind of behavior you do, for instance, good, bad, or neutral. Chetana is there, thought. Okay. So Chetana is thought is to think, okay, to think, to contemplate, okay, to contemplate or to think. This is Chetana, thought, okay, volition or will. Okay. But at that time, Chetana makes very wonderful effort, twice as much than other consciousness. Chetana is really using its energies to success good behavior or evil behavior or neutral behavior, whatever. This is Chetana. Chetana, just like a boss of a company. If you are supervisor position, if you have a position of a supervisor or boss of a company, boss of companies really use great effort, twice as much than anywhere other people's employees. Do you understand? Well, for instance, in the modern civilization, you know, particularly in Japan, Japanese is really economical and boss of the company really make every possible effort day after day, twice as much as done as some other people, to create what kind of new product he should do, okay, day by day. That's pretty, really hard work. Okay. And also, Chetana, they supervise, okay, employees with his sort of order. Okay? So Chetana is ordering. Chetana is powerful to order somebody and organize and let employees work in best way. So at that time, Chetana used really great effort, twice as much than other people. So Chetana is a boss, okay? Employees, that is human behavior, good or bad or neutral, okay? Neutral. So you can, if you control, organize employees, that is good behavior. But if you miss, failure, if you fail to do, well, that is unwholesome, okay? But anyway, this is a Chetana. So Chetana is that's why Chetana is individual experience, individual thing. Okay, Chetana is boss of a company, has great effort. That is his business. But simultaneously, his behavior, his Chetana really influences other people. Okay, other people. So exactly interconnected with others. Okay, with others. So the individual Chetana really influences other people. That is organizing Chetana, the employees, etc. Okay? So individual Chetana is not individual. Individual Chetana is simultaneously others Chetana. That is a Chetana, and the Chitta is a mind. Mind is to know and to recognize. Okay? No, not to recognize. To understand, to know and to understand, and also to communicate with, okay, object. This is a mind, Chitta, okay? communicate, creating communications between subject and object, okay, by understanding and knowing something, analyzing, synthesizing, okay? And this is the mind, which is called citta. Okay. So, five. Sparsha, contact, vedana, feeling, and samjana, perception, and chetana, the thought, and citta, mind. Those five always working, okay? Whatever you do, all of it. Particularly, perception remains, even though after reaching the goal, okay? That is interesting. This is just like a karma. And then, according to Buddhist history, the tradition, you have to still continue to practice in order to reach what is called formless samadhi. Okay? That is formless samadhi. Completely no form, nothing. Okay? Completely no form. That is what is called jijiyu samadhi in Japanese, or sometimes that is called, I told you before, to disport oneself in samadhi. To this part, it's really, you can be one with judo and the kendo. Your body is very flexible, round, just like a ball, okay? That is, you can experience. This is final goal, what is called formless samadhi. And then at that time, you can go beyond chetana, no, not chetana, the perception, okay? But still something there. That is human body and mind. Do you understand? Still there is something left. That is human body, human mind. What exists right now? This is final thing left. How can you take care of this? This is karma. It's very karma. That's why you have to take. Dogen Zen says, okay, I read those passages. He says, Buddha way is completely beyond concept of being or non-being. There are human beings and Buddhas, life and death, and delusion and enlightenment, because everyone is great being. If great being, everything is great being, they have, anyway, everything is entitled to live. Before you criticize, before you put a certain label on, this is actual picture of human life. That is, Dogen Zen says, okay, so when it says Buddha way is completely beyond being or non-being, that's why there are life and people and Buddha, life and death, and delusions and enlightenment. Okay. And next he said, nevertheless, flower falls with human attachment. Okay. For instance, if you see the beautiful flowers, you say, oh, please stay on the branch as long as you can, please, because you're beautiful. The weed grows with hatred. That means, I didn't read exactly, but that is my translation, simply speaking, okay? Briefly speaking, he said, nevertheless, flower falls with attachment, with growth, with hatred. Means with is with. No, we don't want weeds in the garden. We really don't want. But even though you hate it, with growth. That means completely. That is, don't you really understand the final thing? What left? What remains after final goal of religion? Okay? What's left? This is human body, human mind. This human body and human mind is completely beyond being or not being, like or dislike. It's there. It's growth. With hatred, it's force. With affection. When the time comes, you have to die anyway. Okay? When the time comes, it's growth. Even though you don't like your life, anyway, it's growth. You have to grow anyway. So, that is final things that you have to do. How can you take care of this human body and mind? This is really nothing but the karma. Karma means complete beyond your control. Anyway, this is reality, fact. Okay? So, if you understand the Buddha way, everything is equal, wonderful. Okay? Then finally, you should pay attention to you. There is something. This is not enlightenment, not Buddha, not ordinary people, complete beyond. This is your human body and mind given to you, okay? As a karma. So, that's why, please, take care of this karma, because everything is changing. This body and mind is really in the stream of change, impermanence. Don't hate. Don't attach too much. Don't hate too much. Anyway, hate or attachment, complete beyond. Take care of your human body and mind with that is compassion. Without compassion, you cannot take care of this human body and mind. So, that's why the reason says, finally, anyway, nevertheless, flower fall with attachment, the weeds grow with hatred. That means flowers, weeds, anyway, has their own karma. Cats and dogs are Buddha. Anyway, trees, birds, all are Buddha. Okay, exactly. What they can live in this world without, anyway, evaluation and judgment. Okay? Whatever you say, that is a human business. It doesn't matter. They can live. But cat is cat. Cat has to his own karma. Dog is still his own karma. That's why we can share our compassion with the dog, with the cat. Same applies to human beings. We can have finally human body and mind. Without this karma, we cannot practice anyway. So this is really karma, human body, coming from parents. This is not biological understanding, this is a really deep understanding. Can't you imagine? If you understand your body and mind, just according to biological, okay, physiological point of view, why you really hate your body and mind? But if you understand more deeply, your body and mind become anyway Buddha. The human body and mind as a Buddha is taken care of with compassion in order to share your life with others, because others also have same karma for you to share. At that time, you can be really free from karma. Karma, because you can take care of your karma, okay, without putting certain ideas, like or dislike, okay, whatever it is. Just take care day by day and share your karma with the people and recognize how important it is. That practice is wonderful. What is called your karma turns into Buddha. That is, well, conclusion of my talk this week. Do you have any questions?